Like I said, I want to speak to you on this thought of man's rejection of God and man's reaction to God. Now, anytime we have a portion of Scripture, and particularly like this, there is a direct application, and then there is also, you can go out and make some other applications, but this is primarily talking about the condition of mankind outside of Christ. This is talking about man in this world having no excuse before God, before knowing Him and one thing or another. Well, you can also go to a person who has been a believer or was a believer or is a believer, because we believe in the eternal security of the believer, that they can refuse to recognize God in His proper place, and they can also backslide. Not to the point of losing their eternal salvation, because then it's no longer eternal. The Bible tells us that He will never leave us nor forsake. How can you ever get lost from somebody that said they'll never leave you? You can't. My brother used to follow me around to the point it just aggravated the living daylights out of me. Every time I looked around, there he was. And he said, just, and this is his words to me, he said, just like Jesus promised never to leave you, he said, I'm never going to leave you. So I moved to Alaska. No. But you cannot get lost from somebody who will never leave you. Now, I've left him as far as my heart, my mind, my will. I have been in a backslidden condition. And just as, I mean, I had left him in a sense, but thank God he never left me. We're looking at a portion of Scripture, and we're going to look at man's rejection of God. The verse number 18 says, for the wrath of God. We talked about God's wrath as one of His emotions. And why should He have wrath? Well, the Bible says that His wrath, or the wrath of God, is revealed from heaven. There's the origination. It originated in heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of man. And this is the reason why that God is angry. And His wrath is revealed. For it says, the mankind who hold the truth in unrighteousness. We said last week, I think it was, that word hold, it means to suppress. They know the truth, they have the truth, but they suppress it. They put it out of their, mind. They disregard it. They're suppressing the truth. They know the truth, but they choose to suppress it. And verse number 19 says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. I said last week that every individual, doesn't matter what continent in this world that they were born, they have something within them that says that there's a higher power. There's got to be something more than myself out there. And they might not know Him by the name of Jehovah or the Lord Jesus Christ or God the Father, those names that we call Him, but they know that there is someone, something that's greater than them. And there's a void in their hearts that only God can fill. And the Bible says there in verse number 20, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. It says, for God hath shown it unto them. They might not be able to explain it. They might not give you a theological term, but they know that there is a God. Now, verse number 20 says, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. All we have to do is look around at this creation and the world and how He's put, I mean, He's put it all together, and it continues the orbit of the planets. You know, if you and I had done it, we'd had a crash by now. Pluto would have crashed into Saturn. Somebody would have got out of line. I can't even line up the school kids to take them to PE without one of them getting out of line. But God has put this thing into motion. The invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. And these are the things. Even His eternal power, something beyond me, did this. It says, and His Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Mankind will stand before God one day and not have a leg to stand on. Be without excuse. Because there's enough, even outside of the Word, just looking at the world. The Bible says that the heavens declare the glory of God. I want to speak to you on this thought of man's rejection. Verse number 21. Rejection of God. It says, but because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Now we go back to just a couple of people on the face of this earth. By the name of Adam and Eve. They have a son by the name of Cain. And then they have another son by the name of Abel. They brought those kids. Can you imagine those kids growing up? Now, they're not in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve have already sinned. God has driven them from the garden. He has clothed them with the animal skins, a type of Him shedding His blood, going to clothe us with His righteousness. All types and figures are great study. But we see Abel and we see Cain growing up. And I'm sure that Adam and Eve, because God Himself taught them, said we must worship. And we're going to bring a sacrifice. And Abel, being a keeper of the sheep, brought the best lamb that he had, the best of his flock. He did not bring one that was half blind or had the mange or something else. He took fulfilling biblical typology. Cain also brought the best that his hands grew. He was a tiller of the ground. In a sense, you can say, well, Cain meant well. Well, yes, he meant well. But he was disobedient. And so all of his good meaning and his meaning well was nullified because he just plainly disobeyed. God spoke to Cain and told him that he rejected his and gave him an opportunity to go and bring a good offering. But he became bitter, became mad. He couldn't kill God. So he turned his focus upon his brother. One day, I don't know how he did it, maybe with a rock, maybe with a stick, maybe with his bare hands, maybe with a knife, but he took his brother's life. Now Cain is cursed and Cain is pushed out and he is he's an outcast. God gives Adam and Eve another son by the name of Seth. And now we have two lines. We have the ungodly line. We have the godly line. And we know what happens when the population begin to grow. Take this into consideration. Cain is an adult. He's already out there. Seth is after the death. Seth is born. So there's Cain got a head start. And so by the time Seth comes along, ungodly people who were after the line of Cain have already begun to multiply. You can read over in the book of Genesis, they give the whole lineage. To a point we get to a man by the name of Noah. And this world is filled with so much wickedness that God says, I'm going to destroy, and spoke to Noah, told him to build an ark, another type of Christ. And told Noah and his family, for 120 years, Noah preached that a judgment was coming, that he was laughed at and mocked, and he just kept right on. Until one day, whenever God said, Noah, take your family in, and the Bible says that God shut the door. I'm glad it says that. Because if Noah had shut the door, the first few raindrops or the first sign of something happening, he would have tried to open it up and let neighbors, people in. Some people say, well, preacher, you still believe that? Oh, yes, I believe all of it. I might be a dinosaur, and I might be, but I believe the biblical account. Now, we go back here to Romans, and Paul is writing, and he's showing a time whenever man was without excuse because man knew better, but they rejected God. So we see here man's rejection of God. It says in verse 21, because that when they knew God. And I said that this also can refer, we can make application to those who have truly been born again, but they refuse to allow the Lord to be Lord of their life. And you can see also a downward spiral in their life. They will be saved. They are eternally saved. But they live a life of misery here on the face of this earth unless they get right and repent before God. The Bible says in verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. I know some Christians today who have been born again, but they have turned their back, they have backslidden on God, and they know better, but they reject, they are really suppressing that knowledge of God. Now, man's rejection of God is first a reckless choice. When man has been faced with the truth of God and he makes his stand against God, he has moved into the realm of rejection. Rejection. This rejection of God is seen in two primary areas of their life. First of all, they give God no glory. They give God no glory. That is, they refuse to magnify and exalt God as God. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. They refuse to give God the glory that He deserves. The primary goal was, their goal in that case, is the glorification of themselves. Glorification of self. Men fail to honor God when they refuse to give Him the place in their life that He deserves. God deserves the first place above our family, above our wife, above our children, above our job. God deserves in our lives, if we are a child of God, we've been forgiven, washed in the blood, He deserves priority. He deserves first place. Man fails to honor God and he refuses to give Him the place that He deserves, then the Bible says that God deserves the first place. But those who walk in unrighteousness and open rebellion, remember they're without excuse, in open rebellion against the Lord to the point that God has no place in their life. I know people today who say, it makes me, the longer they stay in that condition, it makes me want to doubt their own testimony of salvation. But I'm not the judge. Do you realize this, that one day when we all get to heaven, you're going to look around and, whoa, there's people here I never thought was going to be here. But then there's going to be some people, where are they at? You surely would have thought they'd be there. I'm glad you and I aren't the judge. All bald-headed men would make it to heaven. If I was the judge, even those that got a receding hairline, those of you that got full head, you just ain't no hope. Why? I'd be partial. Yeah. But I'm not the judge. The Lord Jesus Christ is the judge. Therefore, He, God, is not glorified in them. It is a reckless choice. As a result, God is filled with wrath. The Bible says in verse 18 that the wrath of God is revealed, and it's revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and all ungodliness. So as a result, God is filled with wrath at the foolishness and the sinfulness of man. They did not only not give God any glory, but verse number 21 says that they gave God no gratitude. Look at verse 21. It said, neither were thankful. Like a bunch of hogs. How many of you ever fed hogs? You did? You fed hogs up in Quebec? All right. That was one of my jobs. When we'd gather the bucket off the back porch, that was all the bad stuff, all the scraps, the leftovers, the potato peelings and stuff, whatever. Huh? Milk, spoiled milk, yeah. All that stuff went in there, and they call it slop. And you might, if you didn't have enough slop, then you add a little grain to it, a little, you know, pellets or whatever. And in the summertime, one of my jobs was, and I hated to do it, but I had to go out there and pick bushel baskets of just green grass because they were in a pen and all, you know, just mud and one thing, and we just dump it over there. Hogs will eat anything. They're not picky either. You better not watch your kids. They'll eat your kids too. But I never one time in all the days going in there and pouring that good slop. I think it's good. They ate it. Pour that good slop in the trough. Not one of them ever looked up to see where it came from. They'd run on. Well, there they went. Mankind is the same thing. God has blessed the man and has given the man, and they refuse to recognize him as God. They give him no glory, and they become unthankful. Never look it up. They give God no gratitude. While they deny God, they took all the things that He has given man, air, water, breath, took everything that God has given man to teach man about himself, about God. Verse number 20 says, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen and being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. Bible says that God gave those things that they might know Him and use it. They use it for their own selfish gains without a single thought given to our great Creator. Not only is man's rejection of God a reckless choice, but also we see that man's rejection of God has a resulting condition, or there's the resulting condition of that rejection. Because they rejected the Lord and His truth, They were given over to wretched lives. Note there in verse number 21, the rest of verse 21, what it says about their condition. First, their condition is a hollow life. A hollow life. Verse 21 says, but became vain in their imagination. So this verse talks about their vain imagination, which means a futile existence. They are living for themselves. So they think they are. But in reality, they are merely wasting their life, wasting their time. Joshua Bergtol's dad, Glenn, when we were in Metlakatla, he used to say this, that some people are just burning up good oxygen. Their life is worthless. They're just taking up space and they're just burning up good oxygen. A person that refuses to give God thanks, a person that refuses to recognize God as God, their life becomes a very hollow life. They become vain in their own imagination. They are living for themselves, and they think they are, but the reality is they are just wasting their life and wasting their time. They fill their days with themselves, but eventually those days will end, and they will find that their time and their life has been wasted and entirely in vain. What does it mean? Have you ever thought about it? What does it mean if a man or a woman, a person, what does it mean if a person accomplishes great things in this life, which is very short in compared to eternity? We were talking about longevity this past week. My wife's got two grandmothers that she's making a prediction on. One of them is that she will live to be 100. She's 94. Physically in great shape. She's in better condition than her children. Yeah, 94 years of age. Still living at home. Has somebody come in and help her with some chores and one thing or another. But I hope at 94 somebody will help me. You know, I wish that at 56 some people will help me a little bit. But it's very likely she's going to live to be 100. Another grandmother lived to be 101. A grandfather lived. So she's going to be here a while. I won't be around. I gave her permission the other day. She can go ahead and find her another husband after I'm gone. You know, she may live long enough if the genes pool stays strong. She may live long enough to have, you know, whatever. Well, however long, 100 years or 110 years, compared to eternity, it's nothing. It's nothing. I think back every time we have a New Year's and we're thinking about a new year. And I was looking at pictures, and I looked at Andrew, and I saw him. We got one in the bathroom, a little closet, and there he's sitting beside the washing machine playing in the laundry detergent. He made him a sandbox. And I remember taking that picture, and it just seemed like the other day. But it happened to be 12 or 13 years ago. Where does time go?
it goes. But what does it mean if a man accomplishes or a person accomplishes all these great things in this life and then ends up going to hell? It means that he or she has wasted his life. And it would have been far better for them to have never been born in the first place. If a man dies, if a person, a woman, a child dies without Jesus Christ, they have lost the only thing that a person genuinely possesses, and that is his soul. Jesus said these words. Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, verse 36 and 37, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" In verse 37 it says, "Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" The only thing that we possess in this world is our soul. What will you give for your soul? What shall it profit, Jesus said? What good is it if a person gains the whole world just to come down to the end to hear the words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Or to come down to the end as the rich man did in the story of the rich man and Lazarus, and the Bible says he lifted up his eyes in hell. They both died. One, because of his faith, was carried into Abraham's bosom. The other one was in a flame of a torment in hell. Had all the world could give him while he was on this earth. But he died without God. The Bible says in hell, and he began to pray. Might have been the first time he really prayed. And he directed that prayer to Father Abraham. Should have been Father God, but it's of no use. You realize there are no unbelievers in hell? I used to say 5 seconds. I believe it's quicker than that. A millisecond when they write, they become a believer. It's too late. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose the only thing that he really possessed? That was his soul. Jesus said, what shall a man give in exchange? Some would give anything to get that soul back that they've lost. As a result of a man rejecting God is that of a hollow life, but also theirs is a horrible life. A horrible life. Verse number 21 says that when man turns their back on the light of God's truth, the Bible says that their foolish hearts was darkened. Remember, these are those that knew God, knew about God. Not in the sense that I know God. I know Him in a personal way. They knew about God. They knew that there was a God. They knew that God existed. They looked at the heavens and they said, "Something bigger than me put this all together." But they suppressed all of that. And the Bible says that because of that, they become vain in their imaginations. Their foolish hearts were darkened. You see, you can know someone, and then you can know about some. There's a lot of people I know about. I know about Abraham Lincoln. I've read the books. I've read the history. I never shook his hand. I've never sat down and talked with him. Give you another example. I know Bradley Balcom. I know his mom and know his dad. I knew, I watched him when he was a kid growing up, and this long, lanky fella running around, you know, just a snot. No, I've been around long enough. I remember all these. I knew about him. And then he come to the New Hope Baptist Church and become a member, and now I've begun to know him a little bit more. But I don't know him as well as Hannah knows him. Hannah shares a bed with him. I don't want to know him that way. But she knows him a lot better than I know him. And rightly so. You can know about somebody and not really know them. These knew about God but did not know him in a personal way. 1965, I became introduced to the God of the universe through his Son, Jesus Christ, who by grace took me by one hand and said, let me introduce you to my Father with the other hand. The Bible says that their hearts, their foolish hearts were darkened because when they turned their backs on all that they knew about God, what man seems to understand is that the only alternative, what man does not seem to understand, the only alternative to a life without God is a life of darkness. In the area of people who have known God in a personal way, but they have rebelled and they're in a backslidden condition, the further they get away from the light, they get in more darkness. We have a light in this hallway, and sometimes we keep it on. It kind of gives a little illumination whenever the police come by. They kind of look in the window, and, you know. But it's only one light, and the further you get way back this way, you're getting in more darkness. When there is no light, darkness comes in. And the further mankind gets away from God, the true light, no wonder their foolish hearts were darkened. A man, a person, a boy, a girl who moves further away from the light, they move further into darkness. Mankind, created by God, we go way back, had a mother and a father and taught them, and yet one made a reckless choice and got further and further away from the light. Now we have a whole generation, whole multi-millions and billions of people living in darkness. This is why I say their life, those who have rejected God, the true light, theirs is a hollow life and a horrible life. It is sad to think of the possibility of anyone going to hell without God. I remember a time in my life. I was a young man. I came upon a scene of an accident. A truck had overturned there in the parking lot of a gas station. They had turned in, and the truck was turned up on its side. The man was on the driver's side. It's on the other side because he fell. He stuck in the vehicle. He wasn't traveling too fast, but just the load he had, a pickup truck, and he just kind of rolled it over. Yeah, he was, the driver's side was on the pavement. There's fuel leaking everywhere, and there's a fire begins to burn. Me and another, I think it was Jeff, happened to be there. We run into the store, grabbed what fire extinguishers we could, come out, began to try to extinguish, and we just didn't have enough to get it all out, and we climbed up, couldn't get the door open. He's in his seat belt, and he's buckled in, and all this stuff is going on, and there's all the mayhem. And then I grabbed a tool or something and broke out the back window of the truck and tried to pull him out. And the whole time, as he's burning, I come home and my coat is burned and my hands are scorched. And not bad, but the whole time he's cursing God. He left one flame for another. I don't ever want to see that again. I never want to see that again. I mean, he knew enough about God to curse him and to blame him, but he would not pray and ask the Lord. God was even merciful enough to send two people to try to get him out of it in those last moments. But in his rebellion, he shook his fist in the face of God. Next minute, he is in eternity. I've been to the hospital. When I first entered the ministry, I was a chaplain at the Memorial Mission Hospital in Asheville, North Carolina. We had a young man who had subjected himself to a bunch of pills and trying to commit suicide, and he's fighting the doctors, and they call for a chaplain to come down to console the parents, and then I was in there with the doctors and trying to hold him, and he was saying, "Just let me die." And he were cursing God. And God was gracious enough to give him a doctor, get him to the hospital, to get his stomach pumped, and he was still cursing God. And I said to him, I said, "Do you want to go to hell?" And that moment he kind of clicked and he began to relax and let the doctors do their business. Because hell became a reality to him. I don't know if the boy ever got saved or whatever, but at that moment, his life was spared. Don't know about his heart condition, his soul. I don't ever want to see that. That is why I say that these that turn their back and have refused, they have a hollow life, and then it'll end up being a horrible life. And it's sad to think of the possibility of someone going to hell. But add to that a life spent in this cruel world without a relationship with a loving Heavenly Father. I don't know about you. Some of you were like I never had the privilege of having a loving Father in my life. My father left home when I was 3 years old. I desired that. And I never got a birthday card from him. Never heard from him until I was 23 years of age, and he came home for his daddy's funeral, my grandfather's funeral. And I got to sit down at the table and talk to him, eyeball to eyeball, and I'm 23 years of old, and I've been born again for a number of years, and I didn't hate him, I didn't dislike him. There's a love in my heart that I said, "Richard," I didn't call him Dad, I didn't call him Father, I didn't know him that way. I said, "Richard, I want to tell you about my new father." I said, one who will never leave me nor forsake me. One that remembers and takes care of me and supplies all of my needs. And I said, because of His love, I love you. And I want you to know Him. My dad never got saved at the time. I was preaching in, where was it? Outside of Maryland. Just outside of Maryland. And I ran into a fellow missionary who was doing door-to-door canvassing. And I told him about my father, where he lived. And he said, well, that's our next community. We'll make sure we get to over there. And I forgot about it. And about a year later, I ran into him again. No, he sent me a card. He said, just thought you might want to know. I don't know if your father got in touch with you or not. But at 70-some years of age, he said, my father received Jesus Christ in his heart. I don't know. I never did get an opportunity. We were in Alaska. When I went back home again, my father had passed away. I don't know what softened his heart. Well, I don't know what it might have been as a 23-year-old when I witnessed those years. So we never know. But a seed was planted. But what a horrible thought of someone, and it was for my, that my father would live all those years knowing the truth, suppressing the truth, and just saying no and no and no, and then I died and went to hell. In this horrible world. That's a horrible life. To live all those years topped off with hell to come. Trapped in a dark dungeon of their own making. God doesn't send anyone to hell. Man's rejection of God sends himself to hell. Living there, they are alive. They can think. They can see. They can feel. They wish they could die. They're in hell. That it's too late. I don't know where you stand and what you've done with the Lord Jesus Christ. But wouldn't it be wonderful to start a brand new year as a child of God, knowing that if you were to die today, tomorrow, next week, or next year, that your sins are forgiven, and you'll make heaven your home because of God's wonderful grace. Maybe you're here today and you've not lived as close to the Lord as you. You're a born-again child of God, but you've not lived as close as you should in 2014. What a better way to start a new year. Ask Him. He'll forgive you. The Bible says that if we will confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Don't hide it. Just tell Him about it. You don't have to tell me. I'm no priest. I mean, I don't want you to come talk through a knothole to me. Tell me all that junk. I got enough junk to deal with. But you'll tell Him. He's faithful and just to forgive you. Amen.